Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and right now our guest is Father Frank Pavone of Priests for Life, which is based out of Titusville, Florida. We're going to talk about a movie coming out on FX channel, and this movie purports to have a deathbed recantation of sorts by Norma McCorvey, the Jane Roe of Roe v. Wade infamy. Okay, Father Pavone, it's great to have you on the program. Thank you so much for joining us.
It's always good to be with you, Jerry. Thank you.
Sure. Now, you knew Norma McCorvey, and you knew her for, 22 years. This is not the Norma McCorvey you knew. In fact, even when she was about to do the interview, she apparently tweeted you or, you know, sent some sort of text message to you about this interview, that she was going to be paid to do the interview, which, by the way, that muddies the waters, but that doesn't mean it's totally illegitimate. Sometimes that does happen, you know, on occasion and so forth. So let's go ahead and get your perspective on this movie. And I'm going to timestamp this discussion. We're talking on Thursday afternoon in the year of our Lord 2020 on the 21st of May. Go ahead, sir.
Yes. Well, thanks, Jerry. Yeah, no, I knew her very well. We were like siblings, along with Janet Morana, my associate here at Priests for Life. The three of us were like close siblings. I mean, we were in contact practically every day, and over these 22 years, seeing each other, texting, emailing, getting together, personal things, private things, public things. We saw every inch of her journey, of her work, of her life. We knew what she was doing. She knew what we were doing. There was no way that over the course of 22 years, and especially walking with her through the utter pain and devastation that being part of this Roe v. Wade decision caused her, and working in the abortion industry as she did caused her, there is no way that you can make these things up and hold somehow secret from your best friends. We were among her best friends, something like this. Absolutely impossible. So I haven't seen the film yet. Of course, I'll have a lot more to say after I do. But as I say, there was no repudiation of her pro-life position. As a matter of fact, what we do know about her life is that there was a strong repudiation of any kind of pro-choice position she had, and a strong repudiation, as, Jerry, most of the American people do when they come to realize how extreme Roe v. Wade is. The American people don't buy into abortion on demand in the 7th, 8th, and 9th month, viable babies, healthy babies of healthy mothers, and yet they don't enjoy legal protection thanks to Roe v. Wade. So Norma rejected all that. But even when she was working in the abortion industry, you know what she was doing in these clinics? She was talking women out of their abortion.
Oh, wow.
And she got in trouble for that because she was a very sincere, straightforward person. She would say to these girls, you know, hey, you're coming in here to have an abortion. You know what they're going to do to your baby? Did they tell you? Well, let me tell you. That's the kind of person she was. And not only that, but when the pro-abortion groups had their big coming-out press conference where they were going to announce to the world who the Jane Roe of Roe v. Wade was, and Norma was there, you know what she said to the pro-abortion leader, Gloria Allred, the night before that press conference? She said to her, Gloria, I think abortion is wrong. So this is not some kind of black and white, you know, just let me check a box in this column. Oh, I think I changed my mind. I'll check a box in this column over here. Not that simple. And it wasn't just an intellectual thing or a political position. Again, people need to understand something. We were there. We knew this woman inside out. We knew this woman better than any journalist that swoops in at the end of her life with a TV camera and some $100 bills. We knew this woman, and because we walked with her through her journey. She experienced decades of striving for the peace, striving for the forgiveness from God, striving for the healing of her mind, body, and soul from having been the plaintiff in this landmark case and having worked in the abortion industry. It wounded her deeply. You know, we saw the quiet tears. We saw the behind-the-scenes efforts that she made to heal herself. You don't fake that stuff. You don't fake the pain that she went through. We knew she was erratic. One of the things we came to know about Norma, and I want people to keep this in mind in case they see this documentary and they'll say, oh, but wait a minute, she said this or she said that. You have to understand one thing. Those of us that knew her intimately, learned pretty quickly never to be surprised at anything that came out of the mouth of Norma McCorvey. Hmm. She was
a loose cannon.
She was, and that's why. But she knew it too, and so she knew that she needed good friends in her life. But this was the difference. We always knew where she was going to land. You know, she would say things to me. In fact, even on one of the very days that she was taping for this documentary, which again was not on her deathbed, she was taping this in May of 2016. She didn't die until February of 2017.
Oh, okay.
And so she. But you know, on one of the days that she was taping, you know, she sent me one of these messages, and she said, oh, I'm so frustrated with some of these pro-life people that are saying they're going to help me, and they're not getting back to me, and, you know, I'm not part of this movement anymore. So, you know, we knew to take that in stride, because a few hours later, she'd be saying, hey, Father, let's go pray out in front of the abortion facility. You know, she was like this. And unless you knew Norma, which, you know, nobody knew her as well as I did. I can say that honestly. Unless you knew her, this could be rather shocking. So wait a minute, she's contradicting herself here and there and everywhere. Again, even before she said, oh, I'm pro-life, she was pro-life. And you know, her opinion evolved on abortion and she became more pro-life. But, you know, anybody from the other side who thinks that they've got something in this documentary, they had better think again or else they're going to make fools of themselves.
Well, I fear the possibility that the way history sometimes is getting rewritten in our time, there's a real battle over history. And I'm a student of the source of America's greatness. You're going back to the settling and the founding of America, our Judeo-Christian heritage. But all that's been expunged for the most part in a lot of the historical, information that's taught to kids today. And I would fear that this movie could be shown in some school, saying, some people thought that, Roe of Roe v. Wade fame actually didn't agree with Roe versus Wade anymore. But look, she said it was all an act and I was paid to say all those things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Impossible. When we talk about the money, she was paid because she was employed and she was paid because she did speaking engagements, just like any speaker gets paid.
Right.
But to try to say that it was the payment that made her think this way, no. We knew her. And the fact of the matter is that she suffered. And any money that she had, we knew how much money she didn't have because we had to help her pay electric bills or car insurance bills at times, and she had to get side jobs, in little department stores. And the woman suffered a lot, and she suffered for taking a pro-life stand. She suffered for becoming a Catholic too. I was part of that part of her journey too. She suffered a lot. And she persevered nevertheless, and that's a mark of sincerity, not of putting on an act.
I understand she spoke with you and Janet Morana, yes, who works, yes, with you, that on the very day of her death, you got to speak with her, and she was saying something to the effect of keep up the good work and good fight. So this was not a deathbed confession that they captured
on
film.
Nothing like that. No, not at all. No. Norma was, and it was not just on the day of her death that we spoke to her, but we were in constant contact all through these years, all through those last years and months of her life. We were in contact all the time. I still have the texts. I have the texts and the emails and everything from Norma. No, we were like close siblings, and I worked closely with her daughter, Melissa, to make at various points of her life, to get her into the right assisted living facility, and then, of course, in her final months, and to make funeral arrangements, and I worked with the family to issue the statement that they issued. And here's an interesting point. If all of this stuff that's being asserted about this documentary were true, you know, her family, working with me, issued a public statement upon her death and said very clearly how steadfastly opposed to Roe versus Wade decision she was and worked till the end of her life to change it. Now, are we to believe that they were lying too, or that they were unaware that their beloved mom was a fraud? I mean, it's just the pieces do not fit together, because that kind of an assertion is simply not true. Now, to what extent the documentary is going to try to make that assertion, That remains to be seen, and we can certainly talk afterwards, after we see it and kind of take it apart a little bit more.
Sure, sure. And as far as any pay that she received from the pro-life side of things, that would be, as you say, like for speaking and so forth. But even, you know, apparently it's now come out that she was paid to appear in this movie.
Which
she supposedly recanted. And by the way, I saw those texts to you that she wrote, and she was even asking beyond... You know, explaining how she was going to be interviewed by this crew from Australia for this movie. She said, send me such and such a Catholic book. I really want that. And at the very end, it said, you're great. And she didn't even spell you're right.
I can, and I'm quite willing, but she would be quite willing to make public a lot of these other texts as well. I mean, she had a beautiful spirit. She really did. She asked, you know, and that asking of me for that Catholic book, I mean, that was there simply because, you know, it was there amidst, you know, hundreds of other texts. She would ask for, like, when her eyesight started to get a little worse, she contacted Janet. She said, could you please send me a Bible with larger print? Because she read her Bible faithfully. You know what she used to do in the final years of her life when she wasn't traveling anymore? One of her hobbies was to make prayer beads and make rosaries, and she would sit there, and again, no cameras, nobody knew she was doing this stuff, but she would be making these beads. She would put scriptures on them and everything and send them out to people. She'd be counseling women who thought they needed to have an abortion. She'd be convincing them to have the courage to say yes to life. She did and countless things that showed us day by day the sincerity of her pro-life conviction. So for anyone to come along, I don't care what they have her saying on tape, they didn't know her like we did. And this woman is going to be... as you said, Jerry, you know, we have to be faithful to history. We got to be faithful to preserve the history. Yeah. And that's why I appreciate, you know, this opportunity to talk about this.
Sure.
And to say to our listeners, you know, we really have a responsibility, all of us do, to spread the real truth. And we've got all kinds of video footage of Norma. You know, if Nick Sweeney swoops in from Australia and New York and, you know, grabs some hours of footage with Norma, we have decades. And if people go to normamccorvey.org, that's an informational website where we've got some of the video footage and other things that Norma said and did, including the sermon I gave at her funeral, which I presided over back there in February of 2017. But normamccorvey.org, people can find lots of info. And please, everybody, share that so that people can get the straight story.
Oh, man. This is amazing to me, again, because we're in a context where there's a lot of fake news. And yes. It sounds almost like fake news, if you will.
Oh, this, you know what? That's a great point. This is a great example, a sad example of fake news. And, you know, I don't remember if I said this already, but, you know, any one of us can think of the person in your life that you know the best. Maybe it's a close relative, a sibling, a parent, a best friend. And sadly, let's say they pass away, and a couple of years later, can you imagine how you would feel if someone came along and tried to tell you that the person you knew best was a fraud their whole life? I mean, even if they had a video clip of them saying things that you knew that they did not believe, you'd look at that person and say, who do you think you are? You know, you didn't know this person. I did. And you would feel like you would feel offended, and you would feel, it seems to me, it's like somebody that tries to steal your you know, valued possessions. You know, there's an offensiveness about that when a thief comes in. And this is what they're trying to do. They're trying to, somebody, somewhere, is trying to steal the beautiful witness that Norma gave to her love for these children, for these babies. And the simple plea, very simple plea, please protect the children. That's all she was trying to say.
Okay. Didn't she even try to get Roe v. Wade overturned? And we'll close on this.
Yes.
We have about 30 seconds. Go ahead.
Yes, Norma, not only educationally by speaking and teaching and giving her witness, but she also is engaged in specific formal legal activities with the Supreme Court to get them to reopen and reverse the case. And,
well, that's quite an act.
I mean,
think about it. I mean, it's actions speak louder than words. Father, thank you so much for being with us, priestforlife.org and also normamccorvey.org. Thank you again.
Thank you, Jerry.